Welcome to Rubber Band Live, the Australian recruitment and talent acquisition vodcast and podcast. I am Eden Haddock, your host and the creator of Rubber Band, the recruitment network for all. Let's go live.
PayJob, a powerful talent attraction and management system, creating positive experiences for candidates, hiring managers, and HR teams at every step of the hiring journey. From intelligent career sites to marketing automation and talent pipelining, PayJob will enable you and your team to put your best foot forward to attract and convert world-class talent. PayJob's powerful ATS will help you improve your recruiting efficiency, and their onboarding solution sets your team up for success from day one. PayJob, more than just an ATS. Head to payjobpeople.com to see how it all comes together.
Welcome, listeners, to today's episode of Rubber Band Live, which is Real Recruiters on the Tools with Ben Roberts. Now, before we begin, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land that I live and work on, the Wadawurrung and Dja Dja Wurrung people. I recognise their continuing connection to the land and waterways. I pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and I would like to extend this to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. I'd also like to send a big thank you out there to PayJob. You'll find the details of PayJob in the podcast summary. Without PayJob, this episode wouldn't be possible. And this episode is a corker. Welcome, Ben Roberts. How you doing?
Good, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm not too bad, but I just realised corker, is that a positive or a not positive? I don't know where that word came from because I've never used
it. I'll take it as a positive for now. We'll research it later and I'll come back to you.
Let's do it. I've never used that word. I don't know where it came from. It just came.
But anyway. It sounds good to me. So, yeah.
Well, Ben, I'm so excited to catch up with you today. You know, the whole nature of this podcast series is myself returning to, I suppose, permanent employment and talent acquisition leadership after, you know, a period of over 12 months off and doing my own thing. And, you know, it's catching up with other leaders and hearing what's going on in their world and for me to learn from you and our audience to learn from both of us and, you know, just have a lot of fun. But you, congratulations.
Thank you.
Just started a new role too, right? So
tell us day nine. So day nine is the new head of TA at David Jones. So super, super exciting. So it's been an opportunity for me to step back into taking ownership of something, which, as you know, is a daunting step sometimes, but exciting. So and I'm sure we'll talk about this more. This is the first time in a long time I've stepped into something that's not in transformation mode, as in like full transformation mode. Yeah. And it's, I don't know if I'm unnerved at this stage at how steady everything seems, but I'm sure I'll find some problems to try and fix.
I'm sure you will. You always do, right? You find transformation. I think that's the nature of talent acquisition. You want to, regardless of how amazing things are working, you always want to be better and better, and there's along with it, right?
And that's what I've had to do talking to the team. I've had to kind of turn around and say, guys, it would be unfair of me to come in and say I'm here to fix everything, kind of undermining the fact that all the hard work that they've done before. So I've trying to reassure them that they're like, I'm here to help kind of enhance things rather than fix them.
And are you based out of Sydney? Is the David Jones?
No, Melbourne. We're out in Ayrton Burnley. We're about to move to the Big Smoke. So we move into the city end of April at this stage. And so into purpose-built offices. And it's part of the split out of David Jones from the Country Road Group. Means that we're vacating the offices that we shared with them. And it's actually the first time that I will have been back into the city, actually in the city to work since COVID.
Wow.
So I'm excited. I do miss the city. I've always kind of loved working in the city. Now I've just got to get used to the getting back on public transport and all of that stuff that other people have had to think about long before now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I've got a real soft spot for David Jones. I worked for David Jones in both Sydney and Melbourne. I managed their florist for a number of years. I used to do the Sydney and Melbourne David Jones Flower Show. I worked in menswear in Chadston. I've done it all with David Jones. I've got a real connection with DJs. So I think it's an awesome retailer.
Yeah. I love it as well. Like I was very honest, right? I don't come from retail, and I thought that that would somewhat stand against me, but quite the opposite. And so, but I'm aligned to the brand. Like I've always loved the brand. Like obviously, you might tell from my accent, I'm from the UK, and so department stores have always been synonymous with the UK, right? And most of them don't exist anymore. But I've always had this thought about it, and David Jones is one of those that I just like. I know people are proud to work there, even without speaking to those people. You know that it's a brand that resonates with people, and so that's kind of what drew me there. And as I said, like if you've worked there before, people have a fondness and an affection for David Jones. So hopefully they fly me around the world to fashion shows in Milan and stuff like that.
Yeah. Totally. And you can hire me to do the flowers around the world. You know, I actually did the Melbourne fashion shows with put the flowers in the room and met Megan Gale back in the day. That's going way back, you know, but anyway.
Worst case scenario, you can carry my suitcase, Eden.
Oh, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Well, look, mate, I'm really excited to hear about talent acquisition and how it operates, particularly in such an iconic brand in Australia, right? And so your team, like how does your team work? How many people have you got reporting into you? What sort of recruitment do they do?
Yeah, it's like it's structured quite as you would expect in something like David Jones. So it's a split between corporate or support centers as we call it, and retail. And so and there's a fair split between those at the moment, mainly because the support center is obviously continues to go through the transition of separating out and kind of the tech world in particular. We'll talk more about this, I'm sure, but the technology land space for us is huge. We're going for a huge tech transformation, and that means we're going after a lot of tech talent. And then in the retail space is ongoing all the time, right? So that's anything from kind of the frontline people in stores to obviously the leadership that sits above that. And that's the bit I'm probably trying to get my head across the most. I've had about 7 hours schooling in terms of beauty recruitment, which is very new to me, and kind of the challenges that come with that. And for the most part, the challenges that we've got to face into, which most people in a volume space are, is how do you find talent at volume? How do you get them through a process effectively without them feeling that they're just a volume candidate that's going through a process that's easy for you? And so in terms of kind of my remit, I suppose, is kind of what can we do to make that effective? Like it's a people business, so the people coming into it want people time. And so how do you give them people time while not sitting there trying to talk to 10,000 people at a time? So,
yeah, right. So in terms of, I mean, that for me, like I go, whoa, like that feels, that's huge, right? Like it's huge. Yeah. What do you perceive? And I know it's early days, but 2024, and also, you know, you talk about the focus on technology. So we're probably going to be competing against each other in 2024. Yep. So, you know, good fun and games. But, you know, what are the core focus areas for your team? Like what are you seeing to be, you know, where the areas of growth or the interesting areas? Tell me about that.
Yeah. I think, like I said, 9 days in, there's three areas I think that are going to be a big focus. And that is about moving towards a skills-based recruitment approach, right? And there's lots of people talking about this. But it's something I am passionate about, is how do we move to recruiting for potential rather than experience? And I don't know the answers to that fully, but I know that it's about, obviously, we need to map out like, what are the skills inherent to a job? What are the future skills that we need? What does emerging talent look like? And then how do we actually go and assess for those skills and move away from a CV that has to be loaded up with 5 to 6 years of exactly the same experience in a like-for-like company? And that's going to be key. And I think whoever gets that right first is going to start to win talent. So hopefully it's us that get that right first. And that's holistic. Like, it's not a TA problem like that. That's a whole people and culture challenge to map skills, look at what you need for the future. What are those future skills that you're going to go after? How do you build, buy, borrow, and all of that type of stuff?
Yeah.
So that's probably number one. And then there's what's the technology that underpins that? And again, I don't think there is one bit of technology out there that underpins that. So if you've got deep pockets where you are, Eden, then you might win. But I think most TA teams are restricted with how much technology they can implement. So it's, again, who's the right partners to get done with the bits that you need to get done?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and then I think kind of the diversity and inclusion piece obviously is paramount to being successful as a business. And again, I think it's that continuation of like moving away from tick box exercises and just going after numbers to what is the right thing to do here and how do we support individuals from a diverse background to get roles. And so, again, there is no win to that, but I truly believe the most effective way to do that from a TA perspective is we all need to come together, right? That's the only way, is share ideas, share solutions, share outcomes, and say to people, do the same and you'll get the same outcomes. Because I definitely think when it comes to diversity in particular, is that the more you share, the more that people do, the more we're going to get across the issues that we have with different segments of diversity. So they're kind of big ones.
We're on the skills hiring journey. We're on that journey in terms of mobility as well. But I think what's really interesting, you then moved into diversity, equity, and inclusion. The two are so intertwined, right? If you get skills based hiring and move away from the traditional, as you said, you know, CV tick box kind of key selection criteria and move into skills-based hiring, the benefits for diversity and inclusion and equity naturally come along with that. So we're on exactly the same
hand in hand. Yeah. And the third and last one is business partnering, right? And again, I think this is not just what do we need to do in David Jones. I think this is a TA thing, is how do we really become a business partnering function? How does TA get seen as being a business partner? How do we drive outcomes for the business by what we do? And to me, that's not about bums on seats. That's about what are the commercial or strategic outcomes that TA can support? And how do we get a seat at the table to influence that? And so, again, the more TA as an industry, and the more that we as leaders can support that, the better. So I'm personally not interested in any more conversations about how quickly can you hire me somebody, what's your time to fill look like. I want to move away from that, and it's more around kind of, hey Ben, we want to take the business in this direction. What do you think we should do from a people perspective? What people should we be looking at in market? What should our future talent look like? So that's where I've got to get the kind of team to. Not saying it doesn't exist in the team, but it's just about enhancing that business partnering.
I agree. And do you know what? I think for the last, I'm going to say 5 or 6 years, we've primarily been focusing on and talking about candidate experience. It's been like the, and every event you go to, and it's just been the hot topic. I think really where we are now, we should have that sorted. And if we don't, do it now and do it quickly. Right. And I think yourself, myself, and other leaders out there, we have got it sorted, and we're doing that incredibly well. I think what we need to be talking about now is the business experience, and I think it's beyond talent advisory. It's really looking at what does that experience look like from the business side in terms of how they benefit from us and everything that we hold, all of the knowledge that we have, all of the insights that we can provide, and how we provide a wonderful experience for the business in terms of talent, and how do we recreate it and make it more, because we moan that candidates don't like going through traditional processes, but neither do businesses really, like neither do hiring managers. They don't want that either. And I think we need to make that connection.
I agree. But Eden, you and I have both been hiring managers ourselves, right? So let's often forget that, and often TA business partners or consultants often haven't had to be hiring managers themselves. And to your point, that experience of kind of what it feels like to go through a hiring experience as a manager often will shape around kind of what you think in regards to solutions. And I agree, we should be further along with candidate experience than we are. And some people are doing that amazingly well. Some people are still catching up. But this to me is the year about talking about overall people experience in regards to what the people experience is for each touch point. And a hiring manager should sit there and go, this was the most amazing experience I've ever had, right? Rather than sat there going, well, the candidate had a great one, but mine was terrible.
Mm, exactly. So what do you perceive to be the major challenges this year? And I find this will be really interesting to hear, I suppose, from a retail brand as well, because you'll have your unique challenges in the market in terms of talent attraction. But
I think it is, to be honest, I think it is going to be about how do we continue to make candidate experiences that feels individual to those people that then fits in with the experience that we've just talked about that we're trying to create internally. So often a candidate experience, what a candidate wants for an experience to what a hiring manager might want for an experience, and also what we might want as an experience as being a hiring team, can be on very different pages. Mm. And so how do we make it so that they all feel like they're on the right pages, but how does it come together? And then how do you then put that into a volume perspective? Right. It's kind of, as you know, if you're doing exec recruitment, you can be very bespoke in how you go about doing things and how you go to market and what that experience feels like for everybody involved. When you're sat there and you're recruiting in volume, that changes. And then at the same time, I think it's going to come down to there's a lot of choice out there now. Right. Mm. So I think as we all move into this skills based recruitment methodology, and move away from the you must have this experience type, then we will all compete for the same talent, right? So all of a sudden, you and I will be going after the same talent because the skills that we're looking for would be much the same. The business units we might be thinking about putting those people into other roles might be slightly different, but all of a sudden, we're talking to the same people. So that, I think, is going to be a unique challenge for the first time ever, sat there going, oh, I'm talking to you about this role and yet you're talking to somebody else about that role. And then how we fight against winning that challenge. So that's going to fundamentally, I think, open up a different way of going to market and showcasing yourself through employer brand and then what that actually looks like about how you sell the opportunity to somebody. Yeah.
And you know, I mean, what we're exploring at the moment at REA is absolutely in terms of skills-based hiring, we need to invest very, very heavily in our employer brand and life at REA and less in advertising. Because if you're looking for skills, a job ad becomes redundant. And that's what's going to be really interesting this year, I think, and how organizations are going to tackle that, because it's always been fundamentally at the core of what we do is that we put an advert up back in the days on the newspaper and now on the job boards. If you're looking for skills, how do you define it? It's gonna how's that gonna disrupt your LinkedIn's, Seeks, your bespoke job boards?
Like, absolutely. Employer brand will become key again. It's always been key, as you know, for a number of years now. And you're correct. I think they are going to take a fundamental role to how do we get this out to the masses, right? Now it's not a skilled, experienced person that's looking at this because it fits their skills or experience. It's now somebody that's sat there going, I'm looking for an opportunity or I'm looking for a guiding light of where my career is going to go. And it's going to be people dropping stuff in front of them going, you might not have thought about David Jones, but this is why you should. And they sit there going, but I would never think I could work at David Jones. And we'd sit there going, well, of course you can. You've got this skill, this skill, this skill. And you might not know, but that actually means you could do this job really well. So employer brand will be the ones that kind of the win that. So I don't know about you. We don't have an employer branding team. We don't have the luxury of a purposely paid employer branding team. the companies that are fortunate to have that are going to be in a very envious place, I think, of being able to do that. But I think it is being creative. And then I think it will then start to come back to what your overall brand stands for, right? So not just your employer brand, but what does your overall brand stand for? And again, David Jones, that's where you play a thing around. If it's a brand that people sit there going, I want to shop there, I love shopping there, it means something to me, I love walking into David Jones, then you take that customer sentiment and turn that into, well, why don't you come and work for us, right? It's kind of, so we need to make sure those two worlds align nicely.
So how do you do that at the moment? It's really interesting because we all know David Jones, and like I shared at the start of this podcast, I have my own personal experience with David Jones that I hold really close to my heart, and therefore David Jones I connect with. How do you actually engage candidates to make sure, you know, because some people won't have that same experience. Yep. Maybe they've been a consumer and they've bought jeans over the years in David Jones. Like how do you get that? For me, I'm connected with it already. For those that aren't, how do you explain that to them?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I don't have the full answer 9 days in at this stage. But what I do know is the fact that there is a real draw card with the brand name. Right. So that can be good and bad. So in particular in the retail space, there's no shortage of candidates wanting to come and work for us, right? Because it's a well-known brand. And obviously people that are aligned to wanting to work in women's fashion or beauty, two of those kind of key areas that people would align towards David Jones. No shortage of people wanting to come and join us. So it's more about cutting through around kind of, are they the right people for us in regards to where we want to take the business? So again, it's moving the mindset around, they might be right now, but kind of what do we need for the future? What does that look like? When you get into kind of some of the other areas, and I'm probably thinking about things like IT and finance and stuff, where like it's not necessarily why people would be drawn towards a brand, right?
Yeah.
Then it's really about selling. It's no different than anywhere else. It's about selling the benefits of kind of what is in it for them. And for us, I'm not giving anything away that wouldn't be obvious, right? We're looking at around like, what does that look like from a sense of belonging, right? What is it that people want from a sense of belonging?
Yeah.
What makes them get out of bed in the morning and come to work and give their all? What does career development look like for them? What do benefits look like that they want to have? We do have some great benefits, as you can imagine, around things like discounts and stuff like that. But for some people, that's surface level, as you know. They want things around, how am I going to be advanced in my career? Where is that going to take me? And I can very, very clearly see that there is a lot of that on offer at David Jones. So it's a business that does well and truly look after its people. But we are being challenged, and as part of the exec leadership team of the People and Cultures, I'm involved as well as what do we need to do more of? What do we need to start, stop, continue when it comes to the people side of things, to either retain people or attract people? So, no different than anyone else in that sense, I would say.
Yeah. And then, like, in terms of David Jones, because it's something that you don't necessarily think of with a retailer, like it can be really hard to define as a consumer, like around your sort of company vision, purpose and values, like how do you bring that to life in your creative and your communications?
So it's kind of, and I'll talk high level here because I'm obviously learning it on the fly, but that, like, their overall vision, like, and our the tagline is to be the destination that inspires with experience and service like no other, right? And so that's obviously the overall vision. And then they've got some key objective in there, which kind of gets down to the roots of things. And then so that's know and grow our customers. So that's an obvious one, isn't it? Around kind of going out there and winning the customer base. Being an omni-channel curator of world-class brands. So you won't get the customers, of course, unless you've got those kind of world-class brands. And David Jones has been known for that. Deliver seamless services and experiences. So again, very much about the customer and making sure that they love the experience of David Jones. And then transform our capability. And that one at the end really is the one that fits into people and culture and talent acquisition. So what is the current capability we have? What is the capability we need? What is the gap in between? And how do we transform or adapt the capability we need to get there? And so we are next Wednesday, we're about to kick off a 2 days people and culture strategy day with the whole team. It's going to be amazing. Fun. Excellent. And that is looking at our kind of 2024, 25, 26 people and culture vision around kind of what is it that we're going after and what does that look like and what are the big goals, what are the big buckets, and how do we get to where we want to get to. And so I'm fascinated to see what we come out with at the back of that. It's nice to be joining a business as they're setting their strategy from a people and culture perspective. So I get an input rather than being handed one that's already been defined.
Fantastic. Oh, that's going to be a fun day. I want to tag
it. It's going to be a very fun day, to be honest.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, what I'm curious around, I mean, we've spent a lot of time earlier talking about skills-based hiring and, you know, this all comes down to, you know, candidate pipelining strategies, right? We're all looking at things differently. We all went through that period 18 months ago where it was impossible to find anyone in technology because we're all doing the same thing. And, you know, the power was in the candidate, right? They had so much choice and we were all going about it in the same way. Mm. Like, do you have any ideas in terms of technology or solutions or, you know, ways that we can reimagine how we find candidates and how we engage with those candidates, like to have a future-proofed?
Yeah. I do have some ideas. Whether they're the right ones, I'm not sure. Well, I'll let you know in the future. But Fundamentally, I think it comes back to the basics of TA. So one, I think you've got to truly understand, like, what is it that you're actually wanting people or a group of people to do? Right? What is the true premise of what they're going to do? Then try and then convert that to, well, why would people want to do that, right? Are there people that want to actually do that job, right? So it's, and if we're thinking about things like technology, and this is going on in our world, do people want to work on old legacy technology systems, right? Is that an attractive thing for people to work on or is it not? And if it's not, then be honest about, well, what is it that we can do to attract people that would want to come and do something which is fundamentally not that attractive, right? And so that might be then looking about, well, is that looking at a different type of person, right? Is that looking, comes back to like looking at different things. So then you start to get to be, so where are these people? Like, who are these people that might want to come and do these things? Like, and you search them out and you find a way to search them out. And then you just land them with all the information they need to make clear and concise decisions, right? But I think it's about being a bit more thoughtful about what it is that we really, really want. If those people exist, where do they exist? Chase them. If they don't, how do we build them and get on the front foot very early? And to your question around what technology underpins that, I think it really depends on what area you're going after. But yeah. I think, and I won't name the business that I worked for, but I once worked for a business that was going after a certain skill set in technology, a certain type of people. And there was a bit of research that was done and fundamentally found that the easiest way to find these people and where most of these people sat was, interestingly, on dating apps, right? So, interesting bit of research. Yeah, right. I know. So, and so the decision was taken around, well, how do we try and advertise or how do we try and infiltrate people through dating apps without being seen to do that in terms of the marketing side of things. But fundamentally, that was kind of using technology to our advantage, right? Where are these people? What technology do they use? How do they want information to be served up to make decisions? Yeah. And then going in that way. So again, I think this is, for most people, this is the norm these days. It's like, what technology do people want to use? How do they want to use it? And how is the quickest way to get outcomes? Yeah, and I think from a TA perspective, that is around, again, looking at things like, does video interviewing work, right? Does it work for the cohort of people that you might be going after? If not, don't use it. Like, how do they want to answer questions? coming from the transport logistic industry previously, most people out on the road don't carry their CVs with them. So why ask people to send CVs when you know that's a really hard thing for them to do on the fly? And that's, I think, where technology comes in around. Can you use things like chatbots to get people to hand over information that you might need for the process? Can you move away from video interviewing or two-way interview and move to one-way? What is the thing that works for those people? And that's the thing that, again, I think is going to win the ongoing challenge for talent.
I agree. Do you know what? And I've been having these conversations with a number of people, and I absolutely agree with you. We need to spend time on talent personas at the moment. Yeah. And that's what we haven't been doing. And I think that's what went wrong 18 months ago when we were all in the war for trying to recruit the same people, right? And, you know, the conversations that people have been having with me, they're saying, oh, Eden, I'm really, really struggling to attract talent because our organization is a five-day in the office or three-day in the office, and everyone's telling me they want to work remotely or they want the choice to work however they want to. But there are people that want to work in an office 5 days. So you need to change them and find them.
Yeah,
you know, you need to say, these are the sort of people I want to target. And they might be working in a 100% remote organization and miss coming into the office. So it's shifting and redesigning and redefining who your target market is.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. And that comes back to that skill set thing. I think you have an opportunity to be a bit more. You have control a bit more in regards to kind of what you're going after and what you expect in return when I think you're offering more as well. So if you're going after somebody based on their skills rather than their experience, for the most part, I'd imagine those people have been knocked back numerous times from numerous roles and numerous organizations, and they're struggling to get the foot into something that they might want to get into. And so being able to turn around to those individuals and say, we're going to give you the opportunity, right? Not because it's the only thing to do, it's because it's the right thing to do. We want to support you and help you. But at the same time, we also want you to work in the office 4 days a week, right? Because we feel that that's the culture that we want to create, and we want to have an environment where people work together. And for somebody like you that's coming in just based on skills that needs to grow and learn and adapt and progress, you are going to benefit from that, right? Being around people.
I'll be excited by it. Yeah,
you know, and that's the sell, isn't it? Right? Because, but if you're going to say to somebody, I want you to come and do exactly the same job that you're currently doing, that you're bored with, and move you over here. Yes, you're going to a different environment, etc., and different people, but essentially you're just doing exactly the same thing. And I want you to come in 5 days a week. I'd imagine they sit there going, I can't see the benefits of that, of any of that.
Yeah.
Right? Why would I bother? So, we've all got to move away from the fact that that's the case. And if you want a finished product that's doing the finished thing, then they have the power to then turn around and say, well, this is what I want in return for that. So,
Agreed. I've got one more question for you, and I'm sure you're the same as me. So I'm in that mode where I'm wanting to be inspired by something. I'm wanting to see innovation out there in the market. Yeah. Is there anything that you've seen, maybe even from an employer brand perspective, that may make you go, wow, this is really cool? This has got the fire in my mind.
Yeah, from an employer brand perspective, I don't think anybody would be shocked by this, but like the recent stuff coming out of Sportsbet was pretty amazing. Like the green tick thing was great. It just resonated with me, right? It was kind of absolutely, I take my hat off Tequila for that, right? It nailed what an employer branding thing could look like. And the follow up of that in terms of how they continue to roll that out is to me the fundamentals of it. So I remember watching that and thinking, wow, that's pretty impressive. And I also have to take my hats off to my old employer, Australia Posts, right? They've been doing the same as well. So Mark across there in that team has been doing some amazing things. Like they've been on a journey for the last 18 months of building personas and putting videos out about what it means to actually work in that role in the business, and using real life examples of that. And again, the way that they've been able to roll that out has been amazing. So I look at those two and really do take inspiration from that, because I think they've kind of hit it on the head. And so, yeah, I wish I had their budget. I wish I had my branding team of that size. But it goes to show that if you do put some work into it, that it really, really resonates with people.
Absolutely. Ben, it has been an absolute treat. I want to talk for another hour with you.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that over a coffee or a beer or something.
Yeah,
so
let's do that.
We'll catch up separately. But thank you so much.
No, thank you.
It's been great. I've learned a lot from you today. And we've got so much alignment in terms of what we're working on. So I think we'll continue to learn from each other. So,
well, yeah, we need to talk about how you're going to help me find all these technology people, Adam. So.
Yeah. exactly, right? There we go. Amazing, Ben. You have an amazing
thank episode. You.
So great to see you. Thanks, mate.
PayJob, a powerful talent attraction and management system, creating positive experiences for candidates, hiring managers, and HR teams at every step of the hiring journey. From intelligent career sites to marketing automation and talent pipelining, PayJob will enable you and your team to put your best foot forward to attract and convert world-class talent. PayJob's powerful ATS will help you improve your recruiting efficiency, and their onboarding solution sets your team up for success from day one. PayJob, more than just an ATS. Head to pageuppeople.com to see how it all comes together.